went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, and the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those three times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost. Better keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will? Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 and then he showed me his bill. Another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Huntoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Huntoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
This is Bruce Bagan from B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're proud sponsors of When Your Health Matters. Please appreciate that as a pool and spa builder, we are committed to making sure that you can get the most health benefits from owning your own hot water spa. And that's why we carry a full line of Sundance Spas, the world's leading manufacturer of hydrotherapy spas. Relaxation is one of the best ways to take care of your health. And when you own your own Sundance Spa, you can unwind at home every day in the privacy and comfort of your own home. Each Sundance Spa has dozens of precisely placed water jets to pamper you with their massaging bubbles. B&B Pool and Spa Center carries a full line of Sundance spas and is a factory-authorized warranty center. Come to B&B. You'll be amazed at how easy we make it to have your own personal hydrotherapy spa. We'll handle everything for you, so just sit back and relax. Visit the water professionals at B&B Pool and Spa Center, where we've been helping customers relax and enjoy their water since 1972. 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge, and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com, or call 888-706-4557. That's bbpoolandspa.com. Or 888-706-4557.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, and that's in Pooler, Georgia. We are at Suite 404 in Building 400. Our phone number is 912-348-3369, but that's not really the best way to get a hold of me. The best way to get a hold of me is to call this little contraption that I'm holding in my hand right now, called a cell phone. My cell phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. I'd ask for you to write that down because you never know when your health is going to matter. But when it does matter, which is what this show is called, When Your Health Matters, you want to get results, you want to get answers. And I'm toying around with an idea that I've actually been representing for the better part of 30 years. And I'm talking about coming with a new moniker for myself. And it's I spend a lot of time answering the question why people get what they get. So I'm thinking about coming up with a new moniker called Dr. Why. When you have a question, you want to ask Dr. Why, and Dr. Why will answer that question for you. And because my job is, I can't prescribe you medications. I can't give you, the pharmaceuticals. I typically don't even recommend the over-the-counter medications. So I have always been focused and motivated on and inspired by understanding mechanisms of cause, which ultimately answers the question why. So I'm considering in the new year, and I'll work this out between now and the new year, of adding a new moniker for me is, go ask Dr. Why. Well, why would you ask Dr. Why? Because you want to know the answer to the question why, and Dr. Why will give you the answer to the question why. So that's just my little thought for what may be coming in the year 2018. It's fascinating that we're finishing up the year 2017. We got three weeks left before the end of the year. I hope you're going to be planning for the new year. We will be doing a show related to setting goals. So please look forward and tune into that. The man behind the scenes, the man who helps me put this show together, the man who, you know, is the, he's basically the coordinator of the show. He creates the show content, asks the show's questions, and tries to keep me on point in terms of giving you, the listener, a valuable final product, which hopefully means that you'll be able to take better care of your health based upon the things that we discuss. And his name is Mark Sabin, and he is in studio with me, and we want to say welcome, Mark, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Well, of course, thank you very much, Doc Rick. And since I'm the guy that asks why, I'll ask you, Dr. Why. I mean, the questions that we always have about health and what best way to approach health is so important. And I know that in your practice, you really rely on the body's ability to heal itself. You don't turn to drugs, as you said. Is that my choice? And how did you arrive at that approach?
Well, it certainly is by choice, because I learned a valuable philosophy that I found to be true. And that philosophy is the power that made the body has the ability to heal the body. And I found this out when I was in the final stages of making a choice as to where I wanted to go to grad school. I wanted at the time to become a cardiothoracic surgeon and help people survive heart disease and heart attacks and all of those kinds of things. And during the summer between my junior and senior year of college, while filling out my med school applications, I hurt my back while I was working as a painter. And when I drove home, my dad noticed that I couldn't stand up straight and suggested that I go see the, quote, local quack, Dr. Phil Maffetone, who was anything but a quack. But he was an applied kinesiologist who used manual muscle testing to help figure out what was going on with my body. And while in his office, he actually changed my career path by showing me that I could be fixed and I could fix my problems without medication. And 45 minutes later, I was feeling much better. I was walking straight, and I began to ask the question, why? Now, if I could prevent heart disease instead of treating end-stage heart disease, winning some of those cases and losing some of those cases and having to go out and inform the family that we were unable to save their loved one, I would much rather want to prevent heart disease, so I would never have to have that conversations and people would never have to deal with those kinds of outcomes. And so I've been on that path, the path of true healing, ever since.
So you moved to a much earlier phase of dealing with a person's health.
Yeah, in my office visit, I realized that, you know what, Dr. Maffetone was not really concerned about where my pain was, my symptom was. He was trying to understand, well, what was the mechanism for why I had the situation? And we discussed the circumstances, and he was able to come up with the solution while being there in the office. And I walked out of his office pain-free, straight, was able to bend and twist and turn and all of those things because he helped eliminate the reason for what had exacerbated my situation. And it was just quite fascinating.
So that really is an approach where you're coming at a person's health from the point of view of health. But what do you do when somebody is sick and not just injured?
Well, the same thing. I don't treat sickness. I treat the person. And sickness is an indication that you've gone out of balance with your health. Finding out why, understanding the path to disease and how a person got sick to begin with, and then reversing that process by restoring normal function. And voila, the person gets well.
Huh. So treating the whole person and every aspect of that person must mean you have to spend more time with your patients.
Well, I actually do spend quite much more time with my patients. And all doctors need to spend time with their patients to understand the life of the individual, the lifestyle, the stresses, what works, what doesn't work, and why they think and feel the way that they think and feel. And this takes time. Medicine is about gathering objective data, the blood pressure, the temperature, the pulse, the height, the weight, and those sorts of things. And all of that is fine, except it doesn't tell you anything about why the person has the symptoms and what is causing the problem. And they may try to say, well, you're overweight, which is why you have that problem. And then the person's problem goes away and they're still the same weight, or they may even weigh a little bit more. Or even if they lose weight, their problem's still there. So it really doesn't have anything to do with weight. It has to do with lifestyle. It has to do with how we process our stress. What are the things in our lives that are creating the stress for us? How we deal with that stress mentally between our ears. And we'll learn, I'm sure, in a future show that you know, our relationship with God and our spiritual relationship sometimes influences our health. But, you know, it's about understanding the mechanisms and not, again, answering the question why versus just simply masking symptoms and treating the effect.
I mean, now my experience of going to the doctor goes something like this. I come in, I may be complaining about some vague discomfort or somewhere. The doctor types away on the computer screen for most of the time I'm in the office. He or she then does a quick exam, palpating me here and there, listening to my heart and lungs, that sort of thing. Then based on what I say, the doctor may order me to get some additional tests. And typically, they offer some sort of prescription to alleviate my symptoms. Then 5 minutes later, I'm walking out of the office with another appointment to check back on the test results and how the medication is working. Your approach is nothing like that.
No, it is not, Mark. We actually spend a large chunk of time listening to the patient, which is interesting, listen to the history of the person, asking specific questions based on what is given, and develop an understanding of what is going on from the patient's point of view. We then move into explaining the process of evaluation before we begin the evaluation. We make sure we answer any questions and that we give equal understanding between myself and my patient. So we create that understanding. So when we do the evaluation, the patient actually understands what's being done and what the results mean. And once we're done with the evaluation, then we explain what we found, what the findings mean, and what we need to do to address the cause of what's creating the problem. And they follow along. They understand that they can begin to change what needs to be changed in order to restore their health. And they feel much more empowered. They feel much more hopeful. I mean, honestly, Mark, the thing that is most important to me at the end of a first visit is that the patient walks out of my office thinking, this can actually be fixed. I feel good knowing that my problem isn't life-threatening, that I'm not going to have to go through radical medical intervention, and that my situation can actually be addressed in a way that I don't have to worry about it. So I want them to walk out of my office with a sense of hope.
That's a very different outcome.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, you are looking for the cause, but do you also treat the symptoms?
Well, I don't treat symptoms. I treat the cause of the concern. I treat the person. I treat the effects, which is a symptom. You know, if you treat the effects, which the symptom is, by treating the cause, the symptom will go away on its own. Okay, I'm not really the symptom puts me in a direction of understanding how their nervous system is trying to sort out their life imbalances. But depending upon how long the person's been out of balance will depend upon how long the symptom takes to disappear. You know, I get people that they've tried all the medical things. They're tired of trying the medical things. They're tired of being on the treadmill of treatment. They want to actually fix their problem because they're tired of all the medical visits, et cetera. So when they come to me, they've had their problem for quite some time. And as a result, it's like if you're driving in your car and you make a wrong turn, but you don't recognize the fact that you made a wrong turn. The further you drive along thinking that you're going in the right direction, even though you're not, the further away you get from where you want to be. So if a person comes to me and they're three states over from where they want to be, and I say that, you know, you're not in Nevada, okay? You're actually in Idaho. You want to be in Nevada, we got to change everything it is that you're doing. I don't need you to go all the way back to where you started and redo it, although that's certainly an option for somebody. But I have to get them on the path of where it is that they want to go. And that's really what we focus on. We focus on what their goals are. We don't care about so much where they've been. We understand where they've been. And where they've been influences where they want to go. And the trials and tribulations of where they've been may influence how long it takes to get to where they want to go.
I see. Now, since you can't use drugs to treat a patient, how do you treat a patient?
Well, that depends on the patient. What I do for a headache is different from what I do for an allergy, which is different from what I would do for anxiety or depression. Or if a person has a low back condition, the treatment would be different versus them having an autoimmune problem or diabetes or even cancer. Each person is an individual, and they would need an individualized protocol for them specifically, not based on diagnosis, but based on what is actually wrong. Not based on what the name of things are, but based upon how they're functioning or not functioning. And functioning has everything to do with the underlying problem. So, for instance, if a person has a brain tumor and they get a headache and the medical doctor gives them an aspirin or some sort of pain reliever in order to stop the headache and the headache goes away, did that fix the underlying cause that was coming from the brain tumor? Right. So trying to treat the symptom is not the best way to help a person, although I can see why so many get wrapped up in that form of care, because if something's pushing up against you and it's inconveniencing you, you just want it to stop pushing up against you.
Sure.
But if you don't correct the reason for why something was pushing up against you, then it's just going to come back.
So What sort of results do your patients get?
Well, I would like to say that they get excellent results if they allow me a certain amount of control to get them back where they need to be. So many people do not trust their doctors 100% nowadays because they go and consult with Dr. Google. So they may listen, then research, and do what they understand based on what Google says. And what will ultimately require is to take the time to explain things fully based on experience and not some cookie-cutter program designed to have one treatment size that fits all. I mean, a lot of times today, the way medicine currently is, I know where medicine's going because I keep up with where they're pushing the whole conglomerate. But right now, if, three people come in and they all have similar symptoms like sniffles, or they all have, digestive upset or something like that, there's a high degree of likelihood, very close to 100%, that they're all going to get the same treatment. They're all going to get the same prescription, and they're all going to take the same prescription. And the television will tell us that taking those prescriptions will ultimately create these kinds of side effects that now they've made us think that having a certain litany of side effects associated with your medication is a normal outcome from taking and getting treated for this particular condition. I was at my brother's last night, and I, was eating dinner with them, and they had the TV on, and I was listening to a TV commercial where people are actually accepting their condition because the television tells them that there's no cure for this particular condition, so you should expect to have your, I think it was an ulcerative colitis commercial for the rest of your life. And I'm sitting there talking to the television, and my brother and sister-in-law were laughing at me because I get so impassioned by these idiot commercials where I'm like, just fix the problem. Why don't you look at them for a parasite? Why don't you fix their digestive system instead of suppressing and causing them more problems by taking whatever that toxic medication is that has one of its chief side effects as could be death?
That's just, it's so amazing that you could see that in these side effects of the drug commercials, because every one of them spends more time talking about the side effects than it does about actually what the
benefit. Well, that's because the FDA requires it to, because we want informed consumers. So if we tell you that this could potentially create death, it's like if you're going to go skydive, Mark, you have to sign a waiver that says you could possibly die today if your parachute doesn't open up. You didn't pack your parachute. You've never skydived before. So we're going to attach you to somebody, but we need you to sign a waiver that says there's a high degree of likelihood that if that chute doesn't open up the right way, you could possibly die, and you understand your risk, and you're choosing to take the risk anyway. So we live in that kind of litigious society. So commercials have to tell us what the potential consequences would be if you enter into this form of care. But we just take it for granted because the commercial seems like, yeah, it's no big deal. You could die, but whatever. No big deal.
So what are the consequences of your type of care?
Worst case scenario?
Yeah, worst case scenario.
Nothing changes. That's the worst case scenario. But what do we know to be constant in life, Mark?
That everything changes.
Everything changes.
All the time.
So the worst case scenario, which is nothing changes, is not even a possibility. So worst case scenario in my office is the person changes what's currently going on, and with the types of questions I can ask the body and with the redundancy of the mechanisms that help me appreciate that it's the right thing to do before we do it, everybody always improves. Now, do they improve to the level of 100% health? Well, that's a decision that they get to make. That's not my decision. My job is to facilitate the best opportunity for them to get well in the shortest amount of time with the least amount of intervention. That's my job, to facilitate the best outcome in the shortest amount of time with the least amount of intervention.
That's so interesting, because generally when you go to a doctor, you're looking at serious intervention. It may or may not take a long time for the intervention, but a lot of times the healing process can take you months or years.
Or not at all. It's like, okay, a person who has diabetes, how long are they treated for diabetes?
For the rest of their lives.
A person with high blood pressure, how long are they treated for high blood pressure?
You're on medication the rest of your life.
If you have heart disease, how long are you going to be treated for
that? You have heart disease forever.
Right. And it's like, okay, so patients sometimes come into my office who are very medically oriented, but they know they want to try something different. And I was just at a seminar this past weekend where there were four nurses in the seminar with me wanting to learn the new technique that I was learning. And I basically stood up after we went around the room and introduced ourselves and told us how we ended up in this room taking this seminar. I stood up and I said, I want to acknowledge the four nurses that are in this room. And somebody was like, well, why would you do that? And I said, because realistically, they've recognized that their morals, their integrity, and their ethics are more important than just doing the status quo job the way that it's delivered. And they recognize that, and they said, there's got to be a better way. I don't like how I'm treating the people that are coming to me and putting their trust within me. I have to find a better way. So they're in a seminar learning how to do advanced nutritional treatments to fix the actual cause of what's going on with the person, which is why I was there. And again, I was just very honored to be in the room with some very integrous, high ethical, high moral nurses who are the ones that pretty much do all the work anyway.
Right.
You know, so I applauded them and they were like, you know what, I have to get out of this environment because this environment isn't fostering health, it's fostering treatment, and there's people's lives being changed, not necessarily for the better. And there's so many consequences. Negative consequences associated with our current healthcare system, and I just think that's wrong.
So what kind of consequences are there to the ways that you treat people?
Worst case scenario, like I said, nothing changes. But I've never had a situation where nothing changes because change is constant. So worst case scenario, they get better slower than they would like to get better.
Do they ever get worse?
Worse in the sense that if we... There is a technique that I use in the office that I can actually monitor whether their body can accept what we're going to give them before we give it to them.
Interesting.
And if their body is going to accept it, then they're not going to feel worse. But there are some people, which I now have tools to prevent, there are some people, if their nervous system isn't doing its job of upregulating and downregulating properly, if there's some sort of blockage or if there's some sort of autonomic nervous system imbalance and I don't address that before we put the treatment in place, they could have a situation where they don't, quote, feel better. But now I have a tool that makes sure that that never happens.
It's so interesting because I know that in some of the research that I've done in terms of what the approaches that they use in the East and Chinese medicine, Chinese traditional medicine, that a lot of times their approach to medicine is to use the least impactful treatment to try to solve the problem first. And
right.
that each successive treatment that you might use, whether it's, you know, going from nutrition to herbs, from going from herbs to acupuncture, from going from acupuncture into medicine, or the going from medicine into surgery, they go, that's a downward journey they take, and they will start at the top. This is very similar to what you do, but medicine tends to take kind of the opposite approach, which is let's kill whatever's in you that's
bad.
Let's
do the dramatic intervention first.
Let's do the most, you know, let's get in, let's kill the bacteria, let's get rid of the whatever the problem is, let's cure the symptom, and then from there, now we have to fix you, as opposed to, like, fix you from the beginning.
And a lot of times, they don't even look to, quote, fix you at the end. They think that, okay, well, you have a particular bacterial imbalance. We're going to give you an antibiotic, and that's it. Well, what about the effects of those antibiotics and what they end up creating?
They create other problems.
And so it's you know, it's about, yes, the Hippocratic Oath says to first do no harm. Okay, if you're writing a prescription for somebody, you have no idea how they're going to respond to that. There is the potential for a great amount of harm to be done.
That's true.
Okay,
so still side effects.
We would like to do the most conservative, least invasive, least dramatic effect form of care that's addressing the source of the problem, not the effect of the problem. And that's really the difference between how I work with somebody, because I'm looking to get to the cause. I'm looking to answer the question why. I'm not looking to treat the effect. And I tell all of my patients, here's the most important question you could ask your doctor when they're done explaining everything to you. First of all, make sure that they explain it in terms that you understand, because you're the one with the problem. It doesn't matter what their education is, doesn't matter what their medical ease is. If they can't break it down and dumb it down, so to speak, to bring it down to your level that you're going to understand it at, then they're actually doing you a disservice. Okay? So even if you understand what the doctor's telling you, because you have a higher level of understanding, or they have broken it down to where a five-year-old could understand it, which is what I do in my office. I tell people right up front, I'm not here to insult your intelligence. You're probably a very intelligent person, but I'm going to keep it at about a 5 or 6 year old mentality because it doesn't need to be more complex than that. And they're like, no, I would appreciate that. Good. So we give them the form that they can actually process and understand. And once they process and understand it, I encourage them to ask one question.
And what is that?
Why?
Why do I have this problem?
Why is this my situation? You've explained that what we need to do, and I get that, and I'm still deciding whether I want to do it or whether there's a better way to do it that doesn't involve all these medications or potentials for surgeries or come back when it gets worse kind of stuff, which is what goes on in a medical doctor's office. I want to know why this is the best form of care.
It's so interesting that you use the word conservative in terms of your approach, that your approach to healthcare is actually a very conservative approach, as opposed to, because in some ways people may think that what you do is radically different. Because
well, it's radically different.
But and at the same time, it may be radically different from traditional Western medicine, but
correct,
it's extremely conservative approach, a very gentle approach towards health, where you're using the very things that we, you know, that you eat. Foods, nutrition, things like that, gentle touching, things like that, that are ways that you're enabled to help the body come back into health.
Now, what's interesting, what I learned this past weekend at this wonderful seminar is something that I've heard about in the past, and it's always been in the back of my mind, and in some of the techniques that I've learned over the years, we have a method for helping that particular imbalance. But we never had a ironclad way of addressing and seeing if this particular imbalance is affecting the symptoms that a person has. Hmm. And it has to do with scars.
Scars?
Scars.
Physical scars?
Physical scars. So if, like, I have a scar on my wrist from opening a jar a long, long time ago.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And the scar itself, you can see it crosses across my wrist here in a little bit, right up into the lateral side of my palm. And you can see that goes across a significant piece of property on my wrist.
Right.
Palm area.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, because of what you studied, that the channels of energy that flow along this, known as meridians, there's probably three different meridians that cross right through where that scar is.
Exactly right.
So the energy may not pass through that scar the way that it's supposed to, and that could influence how my organs function. Okay. So a woman who's had a cesarean section scar, that crosses a whole bunch of meridians across the whole length of her belly.
Yeah.
Okay. Women who've had breast augmentation, to where they go up underneath the breast in order to place the augmentation
implants.
The implants in, okay? Mm-hmm. That creates crossing the meridians that go right down the center of your body, okay? Women who've had in normal childbirth where they get an episiotomy. Okay, that influences some major meridians as well. And it's like, okay, well, checking the scar to see if it's related to why you're feeling the way that you're feeling and having a solution for how to restore balance to that scar and seeing the effects that it has on a person in the office when they're in the office, but also over the time that their depression and all these other symptoms that they're going and they're chasing their symptoms their whole life, they all of a sudden, they just all float to the background and disappear in the person's like, I feel so much better. Why? Well, because you actually had a scar that was interfering with how your electrical impulses travel around your body and create imbalances. And it was fascinating to see the effects while going through this particular training.
Fascinating. Fascinating. This is, you know, we've been talking for quite a while now, and I know we need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com, but it's really fascinating to have this conversation with you and to learn so much about a different way to approach health that I really do appreciate.
Absolutely. So I want you, the listener, to listen to this next commercial, and we'll be right back. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Dr. Huntoon is pleased to announce a new program that he's offering to his current practice members and any prospective new patients. It's called Shop with the Doc, where individuals, a family, or other small groups can go to the grocery store or health food store and learn these valuable tips. What to buy to be healthy. What not to buy to be healthy. Why it's important to pay attention to ingredients. How to read labels. How food manufacturers disguise ingredients and what to recognize. How food manufacturers and supermarkets mislead the public with bonus buys. How to pick out foods specific for your unique health concern. How to feed a family healthy food. How to prepare for food shopping. And how to find healthy substitutes for your current addiction foods. If you'd like to take advantage of this unique service, contact Dr. Huntoon and arrange for your Shop with the Doc session. His phone number is 845-561-BACK. That's 845-561-2225. Or email Dr. Huntoon at docrick@spineboy.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. The best way to get a hold of me is by cell phone, area code 845-561-2225, or you can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick@spineboy.com. And it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding what the concerns that you have regarding your health. And today, Mark and I are talking about the differences between how I and alternative medicine practitioners identify health problems versus how medical doctors do that. And so,
yeah, it's so important to try to get, you know, to really have a good, solid understanding of the different approaches that you have and that people that are doing similar practices have, because in our lives, there are normal fluctuations in our health. And you might get exposed to something, you might have an accident, you might overdo it and stress yourself out doing physical work or something. So then you work with patients to bring them back into balance.
Yes, I do. Every time I see my maintenance patients, they have been exposed to things, they have had imbalances, they may have overdone it, whatever. And because of the relationship and the consistency of their care, they are never too far out of balance that we cannot get them back into balance in a simple office visit. And these are people who are truly living life because they have their health. So their setbacks are only minor setbacks. They're not major setbacks. And so, you know, those are the maintenance patients that I see when I go up to New York once a month to see them. And it's always nice to see them because we just have a nice, agreeable office visit to where we get to talk about what's going on in their life. We get to talk about what their kids are doing or what their parents are doing or what's going on in this relative's life or what have you, or what's going on at work. And we're fixing their problems at the same time as far as anything that's come up, because they're on a maintenance path. And then they're the new patients that I see. And I always love new patients because they're a new puzzle for me. Mm-hmm. It allows me to use my expertise to understand what their life story is. And it's interesting because sometimes the patient will look at me and they'll say, "Are you psychic?" And I'll be like, "No, I'm not psychic. I just A, listen very well, and B, understand the relationships of why a person has what they have, and so I can help them unwind that because I've been doing it for over 30 years."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I mean, a new patient may come to you in a condition where there's a crisis in their life, a health crisis that they're contending with, or somebody who's had had a condition for a long period of time, and they're coming into you as an alternative because what they've been trying isn't working for them.
Right.
And in those cases, you work collaboratively with medical doctors. It's not that you're opposed to medical doctors or opposed to medical treatment. Your type of health care can actually help support somebody who is getting serious treatment if that's what's necessary. So how does that work when you work in conjunction with people in the medical tradition?
Well, that depends on the condition they have and are receiving treatment for. If a person is receiving cancer treatment that is beating the heck out of their body and supporting them with that, the support that I do for that enables that person to not have such serious side effects of the treatment. If I treat a person who's getting chemo specifically for the chemo that they're receiving, I've seen the person not get sick and not lose their hair, etc. And it requires some some understanding and a willingness on their medical doctor to be open to that form of assistance. And many MDs are just simply not open, and I can understand that, because when they're dealing with these kinds of extreme conditions, they want to have 100% control. And I appreciate that. But understanding, you know, the question that I always say to my patient, if your doctor says that you don't have to worry about what you're eating, just eat healthy food, then I can certainly help them, because any remedy that I'm going to give them is going to be a whole food concentrate. It's just going to give them more of what they're not getting from their diet. And you and I both appreciate, and there's a lot of people out there that appreciate, that food should be our first medicine.
It is the first medicine and the best medicine. So, you know, how are you able to ascertain some of these aspects, attributes of health?
Well, through the tools I use, the understandings I know, and the years of experience in helping those sorts of conditions, and then applying the protocol specific for the individuals in front of me. And each person is different, and I expect them to be different. And that's one of the things that I value about the kind of care that I've learned over the years, is that treat everybody as an individual and fix what you find, and anything can cause anything and anything can cure anything. Ask the body, give the body what it asks for, and get the heck out of the way and let the miracle of God work through that person.
That's a great way to approach it. And I'm starting to see, you know, some of the healthcare facilities having more of an effort to try to support people in lifestyle changes to improve their health. And lifestyle behaviors are really the biggest contributors to having good health. Medicine is not the best way to treat health, is it?
Medicine is not about health. Medicine is about treating a condition. So we help the person focus on moving away from disease versus spending all of their time fighting a disease. You shouldn't fight something that you can't fight.
Mm-hmm.
You should basically figure out, you know, the Chinese talk about the water course way.
Right.
You go the way the water's going, and then once you've figured out how to work within the energy of the water, then you can start to direct it the way that you want it to go. But water always takes the path of least resistance, and that's essentially what I try to do with my patients, is help their body take the path of least resistance to get back to where they want to be.
And that's why you were talking about using food-based supplements, so that you're talking about whole foods. And now, when you're doing that process and using supplementation, doesn't it take time to restore balance to a patient?
It can. A lot of times, if you've with the new understandings that I have, when you make sure that the body's regulating properly and the system is giving and receiving communication the way that it's supposed to between your alarm state versus your relaxation healing state, when you give the body what the body needs, okay, the body responds very quickly because it's been looking for that. And so when you give it what it wants, it kind of relaxes and says, yes, finally, I have all.
Like
thank
if you're
you.
Thirsty and you need a drink of
right,
water, you get a drink of water, you go,
I feel so much better just having that. And that's essentially what the body goes through.
So how do you know what supplement to suggest?
Well, again, that depends upon what the person's presenting with. Every single organ or every single gland or every single system has foundational nutritional support specific to that organ, gland, or system. So we have some foundational understandings, but we don't necessarily always start there, because sometimes a person has to clear the pathway. You got to take the garbage out before you can start bringing new stuff in. So they may need to have some drainage first. And what I've learned and what I've seen over the years is sometimes when your pathways are clogged, if you don't unclog them first, maybe just the pathway being clogged is the real problem. Unclogging the pathway may now allow the body to do what it's supposed to do, and there may not need to be any intervention other than just unclogging it.
Just think about plumbing.
Right.
I mean, if your sink is stopped up, then you can't drain everything out. So.
Or your own personal plumbing.
And you're talking about personal plumbing, yeah, since we're talking about health. So I know you use manual muscle testing to help you discern what's going on with the person. What exactly is muscle testing?
Well, it's a form of neurofeedback that enables the practitioner to discern if there is proper functional communication between the brain and the body, using the muscle test as an indicator of proper functioning. So a weak muscle tells us about the communication to that muscle and the associated organ or gland related to that muscle, that communication is out of balance or is weak or is interfered with in some way, shape, or form. So we're always looking for, at the end of all of our testing, we're looking for strength in all quadrants, so to speak. And sometimes we need a muscle to be weak to tell us that the communication is working properly. So understanding how to know what question you're asking and at what stage you're in, that requires a lot of understanding and a lot of discernment and expertise. And, you know, having practiced manual muscle testing for over 30 years, I'm pretty adept at figuring out the subtleties in terms of when something's not working and when something is. And now I have some deeper tools that allow me to go to a more sensitive level of what's going on, depending mm-hmm. upon what other reflex that we're bringing into it.
So how much of it is what the muscle is telling you, and how much of this is, as you say, the experience and knowledge that you bring into the situation where you can interpret what the muscle is telling you?
Well, that's the other thing that I learned this past weekend is not to, it's not something that I've learned, but it's something that I refined a lot this past weekend is the subtlety of muscle testing, the subtlety of getting muscles and a body to communicate with you at a very, very subtle level. And so it's fascinating the change in terms of what my tools are and how I use those tools and what I'm looking for versus what I was understanding before. So we've refined the technique even more. Even after over 30 years, there was some refining that went on this past weekend. And so what we try to do is we create a circuit between the person touching a reflex point and the person themselves with a doctor or the practitioner testing a muscle to see how the muscle responds. If we touch a reflex point, let's say for the gallbladder, and then test the muscle and the muscle goes weak, we know that the gallbladder circuit has an imbalance in it. Then it becomes a question, well, why? What's causing that particular thing to be out of balance? Is it chemicals? Is it food? Is it some level of pathology, meaning some level of infection like a bacterium or a parasite or whatever? Is it heavy metals, or does it relate back to a person having a scar that's causing an imbalance within the meridian itself? And so once we break it down, and it could be more than one of those things, mm-hmm. once we break it down to that level of understanding, okay, well, now we can move forward in terms of affecting the right change. And the muscle test tells us when we're making the right change versus when we're not.
So you can discern these. You mentioned five different aspects of what might be affecting somebody's health. And now you can actually look in and investigate more deeply and find out which one of those or multiple ones of those is affecting the person's
health. Right, determine the reason why. And once we find out the why and we address that why, then everything goes back to normal and goes back to balance in the quickest way possible.
And so when you test somebody to determine whether that your analysis is correct, then the muscle will test strong again. Is that right?
When all is said and done, yes. The muscle tests strong. The reflex tests strong. The body has open regulation, and everything is communicating. All the lights are green.
So I guess my question is you can test and identify, oh, there's a weakness there, there's an imbalance there. But you can also look and say, if we do this treatment, oh, look, it's getting stronger. So you can actually verify it, and you can test your testing.
Yes.
So it's not like you're just guessing at it.
No,
you're
the whole thing is we're getting a response that tells us whether we're on the right direction or whether we're in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. And so there's certain tests that we want to be a certain way with strength, and there's certain tests that we want to be weak, which tells us that that's working the way that it's supposed to work.
It's supposed to work. Uh-huh. So, but it would seem that there would be a lot of skepticism, and that would be one of the challenges that people, because it's hard to understand how this could work, how would the muscle know what's going on? Why
right, the and I've had some religious people who are very strongly into their faith, thinking that I am getting help from
some weird place.
You know, I'm in league with Lucifer or something along those lines, and I just reassure them that realistically, I'm using the highest level, the highest frequency of Christed light in order to help a person and to interact with that person, and I don't. Unless a person brings their spirituality into the care, mm-hmm. I don't go in that direction. So we're talking about five things mm-hmm. that we mm-hmm. look within a person. There's actually seven, okay? But we can talk about the seven another time. But in terms of what I've learned this past weekend, et cetera, it's interesting enough because part of what they asked me in being willing to accept their rules and their regulations— They said, if you're going to be using this tool the way that we're teaching it, you're not allowed to delve into anything that relates to emotion. And can you agree with that?
Huh.
And I actually thought about it for a little while, and I worked the solution out in my head. I said, well, I don't treat everybody for emotions when they come into my office. So if I don't treat them for emotions when they're in the office, but I'm using your tool the way that it is, then it should never be an issue. Mm-hmm. So I can honor that as an agreement, and I can give you my word, and I'll, you know, value the relationship that we're creating to keep my morals and my ethics in line with the mm-hmm. standards that you want me to apply. Mm-hmm. Yes, I can agree to that. Mm-hmm. And there are going to be times where I choose to put this tool on the side because the person in front of me needs help in this arena. I'll leave that tool totally out of the room, mm-hmm. and I'll focus on this other tool that I've used for 30 years that helps me validate
something. Which would make imminent sense. You're not going to put a screw in with a hammer, so you're going to want to use the right tool
Although
for the right situation.
Although there are people who will do that.
it's not such an effective technique. Well, this is a great conversation. We need to take one more short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I have a few more questions on this whole notion of identifying health issues from your perspective.
Absolutely, but please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You're listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Dr. Hun Toon is pleased to announce a new program that he's offering to his current practice members and any prospective new patients. It's called Shop with the Doc, where individuals, a family, or other small groups can go to the grocery store or health food store and learn these valuable tips. What to buy to be healthy. What not to buy to be healthy. Why it's important to pay attention to ingredients. How to read labels. How food manufacturers disguise ingredients and what to recognize. How food manufacturers and supermarkets mislead the public with bonus buys. How to pick out foods specific for your unique health concern. How to feed a family healthy food. How to prepare for food shopping. And how to find healthy substitutes for your current addiction foods. If you'd like to take advantage of this unique service, contact Dr. Hun Toon and arrange for your Shop with the Doc session. His phone number is 845-561-BACK. That's 845-561-2225. Or email Dr. Hun Toon at docrick@spineboy.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Hun Toon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, serving all your healthcare needs naturally. And Mark and I are talking today about, the differences in terms of identifying health issues and how we go about doing it. And we've been talking about a lot of interesting things, Mark.
We have been. And one of the things that it seems to me is kind of really important for to understand is the people tend to be skeptical, and with good reason. There's a lot of false things out there. And I know that when you're dealing in the world of science, science usually likes to take hard evidence that can be repeated again and again. And is the same true of this technique that you use, even though as people we're more complex and more changeable than, say, a laboratory experiment?
Absolutely. There are certain reflexes that represent the same thing regardless of who is being asked of. And the consistency of the results when developing an appropriate plan of action is remarkable. I could not help the people that I do overcome their conditions they come to me with if the results were not consistent. It's rather remarkable, Mark. No pun intended there, and it makes so much sense once it's explained to the person. And for the past 35 years, people have always said the same thing. Why don't more doctors do this form of care, and why isn't this the number one way to help somebody? And I don't have the answer for them other than the fact that, you know, it's about control and it's about finances. It's about getting people to buy into a system rather than using a system to get people to buy into health.
Well, you know, something that you said earlier when you said where people that come in with faith and are suspicious as you know, may be in league with Lucifer or something like that. But in my world, and I'm ordained as a minister, to me, it's all God. So if you're doing what you're doing, you're not inconsistent with that faith. You're not inconsistent with either science or these other things, that the subtle things that the body can know that is part of what the system is and part of the world that we live in. It would make sense to me that this stuff would work and that you're working through a natural process.
Oh, absolutely. And what's important for the listener to understand is there's no bigger skeptic about what I do than myself.
Really?
I come to work every day with the theories that I've been taught, that I've been using for the last 30 years, and I challenge them every day. This seminar that I was in this past weekend, you know, nice enough, I'm glad that they put me where they put me, because I like to sit as close to the instructor as possible so that I can watch all the subtleties of what they're doing and get the the greatest ability to duplicate what they're doing, because I'm watching what they're doing. So I was put in the front row, and I was glad that I was put in the front row. And I was the pain for the instructor. Do you know why I was the painted mark?
I would imagine because challenging it.
I asked all the questions. I asked all the reasons why, because I wanted to understand the why behind why we're even being taught this, and why it's valid, and why it works the way that it works, and why does Dr. Uland say to do it this way, and why are there the control measures that are put into it? I was the one wanting to ask the question why, but I also brought a level of experience to the classroom that a lot of the people, you know, the four nurses that were leaving their profession in an effort to or change their way that they approach their profession by learning this valuable tool, they don't have enough life experience. They don't have enough clinical experience to know some of the questions or answers to the questions that I was going to ask. So I asked the hard questions because I wanted the people in the room to have a higher level of clinical understanding that I've learned through trials and tribulations of A, taking all these different seminars, but B, applying them every day.
Yeah. I mean, the veracity of what you do is you can see in 30 years of practice patients who've gotten well, patients
who are
healthy, patients who are not having to do medications and do these things.
Right. And so I want the listener to appreciate that as somebody who may be skeptical, I want you to appreciate that I value your skepticism, because it's not for me to prove you what works or what doesn't work. It's for me to show you and you to come to that understanding on your own. I don't want you to accept my understanding of things. I want you to develop your own understanding. Buddha said it best, okay? This is my truth. Try it for yourself. If you find the same thing, great. If you find something different, great. Either way, you will have found your truth. And that's what I want for my practice members. I want them to find their truth, and I want to help facilitate them to their level of truth. I don't want them to be little mini-me's. I want them to be expansive thems. I want them to be the biggest, most powerful person that they can be, because that's what God has given all of us, okay? Jesus Christ said, ye too can do all of this and more.
Right.
Ye too are gods. And I want people to express that aspect of themselves to honor that promise that Jesus made to all of us.
And that's so important, that what you are about and what this show is about and your whole approach to health is about empowering everybody else. It's not about empowering yourself to be some guru or anything. It's about empowering your patients so that they can take control back of their own lives. It's about giving the power back, which is in some ways the radical difference about your approach, which is that instead of you being the person, as oftentimes happens in the medical world, where the doctor is plays the role of God and makes all the determinations and has 100% control over your health, you actually are about giving that control back to your patients. And that's a really significant difference. And if there are people who listen to our show and are interested in finding out more about what that approach is and how you might be able to answer the questions, ask Dr. Why do I have this health condition? Why am I suffering the way I'm suffering? Is there a way out of this suffering that I don't have to go through this process that I've been going through? How would they best reach you, and what would they ask?
Well, the best way is this little gadget that I have in my hand right here called a cell phone. I would ask them to call that cell phone. I'm in this seminar, and I had people calling me from all over the country, and I was answering their questions. I spent 45 minutes on the phone with a gentleman from Philadelphia the other day, and he had called me at 7:30 in the morning. And I talked to him, and he was just overwhelmed with gratitude for the fact that I was giving him the time. And he's like, I feel like I should pay you some money. I said, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not in my office. I'm actually in a different state right now getting ready to take a seminar. I wouldn't even have any way to take a payment even if you wanted to offer it to me. So let's just call it even for this. I've given you some understanding. You now have some work that you get to do in an effort to help your dad. You have some deeper understandings. Try it. See what goes on. If you run into any problems, give me a call back. And if there's a day that I see you or your dad in my office, okay, then we can settle up at that point. But right now, my mission, my purpose, and my passion is to express the highest level of God that I have within me. which is to help other human beings not have to struggle the way that they're struggling. When they're ready to change that, my purpose, my passion, and my mission is to help them change what they're doing to get the better results. And so I would ask people to call me on my cell phone. The phone number is 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. You can email me at docrick@spineboy.com. That's D-O-C-R-I-C-K @spineboy.com. But just let's start a conversation, because you have nothing to lose by starting a conversation.
I agree. And I certainly get to have these conversations with you every week. Anybody that wants to ask their questions, not my questions, I encourage you to give Doc Rick a call. Thanks,
Absolutely.
Doc Rick. I look forward to talking to you next week.
Yeah. So, listener, thank you for tuning in this week. I really appreciate your listenership. Tune back in next week. Same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.
I see my physician. He said you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse. The doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those 3 times a day. Don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost better. Keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, on top of that, on top of that, on top of that.